Howdy, folks. Welcome to Solve This. I'm your host, Widget Walls, and this is a new podcast slash panel show for needcoffee.com. Now, let's face it. We live in a world filled to the brim with problems. Now, you don't need another program talking about them. You need a program dedicated to knocking out as many of them as possible in a short amount of time. So don't worry any longer. We've assembled four experts for our panel. They'll be working out a variety of different problems that I will be giving them, and they will receive points based on creativity, ingenuity, originality, and, of course, arbitrarily. Joining me today, going from my right to your left, we have artist-in-residence for Need Coffee and ambassador to humanity from the Hobo Nation. It's Rox of Spaz House.
Hello.
Hello, Rox. And, Rox, just so the audience can get used to your particular style of solving problems, can you give us a problem you've solved recently as an example?
Yes, I will. At work, I am actually known as the wolf. Anybody that watches Pulp Fiction will know this person is an extreme problem solver. Just the other day, a gentleman, an elderly gentleman for a fairly large organization came in with a very big problem. He had 5,000 raffle tickets printed with the wrong date. So instead of printing them all over again, I suggested of creating a rubber stamp with a line and a new date and a jig, because these were already printed and they were small and you really couldn't put them back into a press, even though he asked for that. Like, sorry, you can't do that because it's your fault you didn't proofread. But this is the best way you can do it for under $20. So happy as he could be, he's got this rubber stamp that he will spending, you know, for the next couple weeks stamping 5,000.
Well done. I assume, Rox, you suggested to him that he could just move the date of the raffle.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's worth checking. moving on, we also have theater professor, performer, and longtime consultant at Need Coffee. It's T. Quillen. Hi, T.
How are you?
I'm well. What's an example of a problem you've solved recently, T?
Well, I solved the problem of how to change lanes while driving down the road.
Really? How do you do that?
Well, you must look over your shoulder. I've learned that. It only took me about 4 or 5 years to figure that one out. But I'm going to share that with you tonight. If you don't look over your shoulder, and I might add, you have to look over the shoulder into the correct lane of the one that you're crossing into. So in other words, if you're crossing into the right lane, don't look over your left shoulder. It just doesn't work out that way. And that's just my little tip to you. It's just one of the little things that I've solved. I mean, that's just, you know, one of the little things, you know. Well, I could go on.
And you will.
Yes.
Moving along, though, we have joining us is the host of Mars Needs Podcast and ambassador to humanity from the Bearded Nation. It's J.J. Hawkins. Hi, J.J.
Hello, sir.
Hello. So, J.J., tell us about a recent problem and your particular solution.
Well, I recently set my brain upon getting rid of the horrible headache you get at 3D movies. And the simplest solution I decided was to go ahead and pay the smaller amount for a two-dimensional ticket. But I also discovered that you can achieve the exact same thing by either closing one eye or wearing an eye patch.
I see.
That's brilliant.
That is actually good.
Amazing.
And do you? And I'm assuming you actually have a budget eye patch that you can use, so you're not out the money you would have saved going to the lesser movie.
Well, yes, you just make sure you have some scotch tape in your back pocket and you can tape your ticket over one eye.
That is fantastic. Oh. I like that a lot. But moving right along, the next person we have, the reformed co-host of Cabin Fever, filmmaker and blogger, it's Aaron Poole. Hi, Aaron.
Salivations. It's like salutations, but wetter.
Aaron, what's a puzzler you've had to sort out recently?
I recently figured out how to build a city from rock and roll. I found that the CDs are a surprisingly supportive material, but they're a bitch during the sunshine.
A lot of glare, I guess.
It's like you're in a J.J. Abrams film.
Wow. Mm. Wow. So that's our panelist. We have no studio audience. So at home, clap like you're here. Hurrah. All right. Yes, well done. We'll begin with our first round, because this isn't a Tarantino flick, and things around here happen in the proper order. It's a quick fire round. I will offer up a problem to each of you in turn, and you simply respond with a relatively sensible solution. All right, Aaron, we'll start with you. Aaron, solve this. Zombie unicorns.
Zombie unicorns, okay.
Yes.
So these are presumably unicorns that have become zombified and not zombies that suddenly sprout horns.
That's a good assumption, yes.
Okay. So my suggestion, which is obviously the right answer, is to, you know, zombies eat brains. So get a brain on a piece of string and attach it to the tip of a unicorn's horn. So it's like a donkey with a carrot, and it will keep following its food until it falls off a cliff. And I you know, and then just, I guess, have a party at the beach. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming at that point they're not going to notice anything outside of their brain sphere. If Winnie the Pooh cartoons have taught me anything. I think brains on string. I think that's the answer for that one.
Excellent. I'll give you 3 points for that one, based on being able to rope Winnie the Pooh into a zombie solution. So well done. Rox, solve this. You've lost your favorite cactus.
Oh. Well, darn. Did I lose it or was it stolen?
Maybe let's just say you've misplaced it.
All right. In that case, I would... Oh, well, if I went to my work, I can actually put up... I would make a photo. I'm sure I have plenty of photos of this cactus.
Yes.
And oddly enough, for lost pets, I can get printing free for the place I work for.
And you work at a printing shop for our listeners at home. Yes. Shop.
So I can actually get put up those, you know, help, you know, lost cactus around my neighborhood, hoping, because cactuses don't go that fast, last time I checked, that somebody may have picked it up. That's... And if not, you know, I will also put in a special in casual encounters, lost cactus in Craigslist. And I'm sure for a weekend, I will get a lot of responses.
I'll give you 2 points for the image of you actually standing in, you know, timing the land speed record for cacti with a stopwatch that you've put into my mind. All right, T, over to you.
Yes.
Solve this. You've overslept and you were supposed to be at work a half hour ago. Fairly practical problem.
Yeah, it is. It is a practical problem. I think the simplest thing to do, really, is to just sneak into work as quietly as possible. You just have to take your shoes off, you know, as you go into work. And of course, you have to plan ahead for these things because you have to think about, you know, where the backdoor entrances are. And then you also have to memorize what all of your coworkers' work patterns are. And then you sort of have to Mission Impossible your way in and set all of the clocks in the office or your place of business back by at least 15 minutes and then come strolling in. And I think you're fine that way. You could even be early.
Now, T, let me just ask you, have you considered the fact that you will then have to set the clocks back to their normal time at some point? Otherwise, you will be there that many minutes after quitting time.
I'm sorry. I didn't think about that. Yeah, of course. You have to work late that day. He says as he makes air quotes on an audio podcast.
Yes. We'll solve that problem next episode.
Of course. Yeah. Solve this. Yeah. So of course, you know, you work late that day, and of course, you're working late that day is going in and setting the clocks back to their proper time.
All right. Of course. All right. I'll grant you a point for a very interesting Bourne Identity ninja like solution there. JJ, over to you. Solve this if you would. Phil Collins.
Ooh, see, that's difficult. I mean, the most obvious thing to say is the easiest solution for Phil Collins would be Peter Gabriel. But I think we need a longer term solution, because the problem is when Peter Gabriel's not paying attention, Phil Collins just pops right back up again. I think really what has seemed to work so far the best on the scourge of Phil Collins is Disney. They just absorbed him into their gelatinous mass and aren't letting him out for hell or high water. So I'm guessing really what we need are more children's movies. In fact, maybe Phil Collins should work in DreamWorks. They seem to kill everything.
I think JJ, a resounding 4 points there for managing to piss off multiple corporate sponsors. That was...
Wait a minute. We have... sponsors?
We were trying for it. That'll be a problem we solve in episode
like
3.
I'd like to see Disney bring out Phil Collins out of the vault. That's awesome. Well, for a limited time only, before he's pushed back into the vault.
Exactly. That's the best part of it. All right. Well, let's take that for one more spin. Another quick fire round. Rox, we'll start with you on this one. Rox, it's July and your AC is broken.
Oh, this is easy. I heard of this problem solution on a podcast. You get a container of an ice cooler, one of those crappy ones, you know, styrofoam. Fill it with ice. You poke a hole through it, and apparently you can put a fan, and you make your own hobo jungle AC unit out of it.
Wow, it's interesting. I'll grant you 2 points for bringing up your people, the Hobo Nation.
Thank you.
Aaron, over to you for this one. Solve this. Your in-laws turn out to be cat burglars.
Oh, nice. And first of all, can I just bring up the problem of every time someone says solve this, I imagine them holding their crotch as well. But we'll get to that another time.
That's episode 4.
Yeah. So cat burglar neighbors.
Well, no, your in-laws. Your in-laws are cat burglars.
Oh, why did I think they were neighbors? Okay, maybe I'm living in one of those small islands again. All right, so in-laws. So does that mean I'm married to a daughter of a cat burglar, which is kind of cool.
I would.
She stole my heart. Oh, just so yeah. Cat burglar in-laws. I would say the best way to solve that is to get a big dog. I think because. You know, they are the natural born enemies of cat burglars and also hamburglars and vegetarians. So I think if we get a large enough dog, and I'm not talking kind of, you know, like a Rottweiler or anything like that. I'm talking kind of 7 foot tall, gamma radiation sort of dog. I think all my prized possessions will be safe until Thanksgiving when we have to invite them over anyway.
Oh, well, well done. Aaron, I'll give you 3 points there for just sheer surreality, or whatever you call it. That thing that Dali did with fish and eggs and such. And I don't mean making breakfast. JJ, over to you. Solve this. You run a lemonade stand, and you're being hassled for protection money by the local mob.
Oh, see, that is a problem, because the mob in this area really does control the local lemons. You know, I am sort of a proponent for non-violent solutions. So, you know, as much as you want to go into the mob's lemonade stands with an axe and break open all their big barrels of lemonade, I really think that in this particular case, what I'm gonna have to say is I'm gonna switch to limeade.
Oh, nice slant dodge of the situation. Well, 2 points for that, I think.
You know, all I can picture is the mob is all 5-year-olds.
That's a big problem in JJ's area.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron, for that reference that no one on this side of the pond will get. T, over to you for this last one. Your child demands that you take out Gulliver's Travels and instead watch Seventh Sign by Bergman again.
Yes.
you run into this often, do you?
I'm actually pondering the eventuality of this situation.
from your actual real life, we don't have to make it with children.
Yes. one of them in particular. This is a conversation I'm likely to have in my life.
And bear in mind,
which Gulliver's Travels are we talking about?
Well, it doesn't actually matter which one. You can establish one, but I'd just like to point out that T, you should be careful in that the child in question may find this podcast someday and compare your answer now with what actually happened. So no pressure.
Oh, great. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Well, if it's okay. All right. Well, this is an easy solution. Mm. If it's the Jack Black version, I congratulate him on his choice.
Okay. So no problem in that.
No, I don't think that's an issue. I don't think there's an issue to solve there. Really. Yeah, no, I think I've just solved it. Actually.
There's no actual problem.
I think if the solve the solution is that there's no problem there.
I say, I think a nice hefty 3 points there for the uncomfortable realization that everything we do on the internet can be seen by our children and our children's children and our children's children's children.
Excuse me, hang on a second. I'm going to put on some pants. Hang on.
There is a problem that we will solve now. All right, so at the end of that round, I've awarded points, and I can tell you so far we have Rox and T are tied for second place, and Aaron and JJ are tied for first place. Moving on to round two. Now, in full disclosure, we are recording this over Skype, so just like we have no studio audience, we also have no fancy buzzer system. So it occurred to me that rather than have me worry about this, I've got a panel of experts. If anybody can solve the problem of their own lack of buzzers, it's them. So let's see what you've come up with. Aaron, what is your buzzer?
It is the infamous that noise. Whatever that noise was, it was that.
That is indeed rather infamous. T, what is your buzzer?
Huh?
You son of a bitch. Of everyone on this podcast, I've known T the longest, and that is the one noise he makes that can always make me laugh. You son of a bitch. JJ,
the first thing I thought of, by the way.
Christ. JJ, what is your buzzer?
Since he doesn't need it at the moment, I am using a sonic screwdriver.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And Rox, what is your buzzer? Oh.
Yeah, every time she does that, Satan gives his wings.
That's right.
God. All right. So I think we'll award equally 3 points for each of those because they all came with bonus information. All right, on to round three, and those buzzers we've just introduced are going to come in handy. It's a not-as-quick-fire round in which players can buzz in on each other's answers. So once the answer is given, you can buzz in for one of three reasons. If you feel there's a problem your colleague has not foreseen, if you think you have a better solution altogether, or if you can argue for why it's not actually a problem in the first place. So, T, let's start with you on this one. Solve this. The giant squid that has moved in next door plays his music too loud.
Well, I think the solution is very simple, actually. Again, this involves cat-like ninja skills. One must wait until the dark of night. And this does take some planning and forethought because you must make sure that the squid is not nocturnal. And you find the best way into the squid's house. You sneak in and I'm going to use the word apprehend said squid.
You can use that word. It's allowed.
Okay. Thank you. You're not going to bleep me out on that word, are you?
No, that's okay, good. This will air past the watershed, so we're good.
Oh, good. All right. I think slowly and one by one, you remove its tentacles.
Aaron is buzzed in. Yes, Aaron.
I have a better one.
Oh, please go ahead.
It's simple. Let Zack Snyder move in. Then the giant squid will disappear. It's like it never existed.
Oh, that's good. Rox, you it sounded like you tried to buzz in as well.
I did. Squids are nocturnal, and the best way I found in neighbors who play music loudly is shame. I would actually go over to the house, knock on the door, and ask them to see their music sheets, because I'm sure he's not playing it right. I mean, that's if he's playing his music on his own. And I have done that before. And they stop.
Oh, T, you've buzzed in again.
Are we in 1910 here?
T, I'd like you to meet Rox, where it's always 1910.
Okay, sorry, just checking. All right, thank you. All right, done.
Aaron is buzzed in again. Aaron.
Question. Is music sheets a euphemism?
Oh, good question.
Rox?
No, it is not.
Okay, it is actual music sheets.
Can it be?
We're 1910.
JJ is buzzed in. Yes, JJ.
Are we even assuming that with the suckers that a squid can hold sheets of music?
Oh, Rox is buzzed in. Yes, Rox.
Actually, squids and octopus can actually, my other neighbor on the other side, who lives on the other side of the squid, will attest that she has seen squids and octopuses move out of tanks and crawl across floors, and that's how they die.
Squids can also write on the music sheets without using a pen.
That's right.
Yes, Steve, you buzzed.
I hereby amend my said solution and just remove the tank from the squid because they'll just die. Everything I said above, but then just remove the tank. So, right, you don't have to remove tentacles, remove the tank.
Yes, Aaron.
If you had a tank, why didn't you just shoot the squid?
Oh, good call.
Jesus, Rox, yes.
Oh, just go down to your local zoning board and contact them, and they will evict said squid.
All right, I'll call.
Oh, no.
What? Oh, God, Aaron, yes, what?
Create a WikiLeaks article that will create an uprising and overthrow the squid.
I think we'll call it there. Okay. When we've gone from Zack Snyder to WikiLeaks and to...
it's not that far of a leap.
I know, but also I was going to throw in there a giant tank coming down the street and attacking a squid in a tank. I think we've pretty much done that one.
Maybe it found my cactus.
Maybe. Maybe it's holding your cactus ransom. That is a very complicated problem that we'll get to in episode 5. All right, so we'll move on to the next problem. That was very educational. Thank you all. Aaron, this one's for you to start off with. You're in the final rounds of the World Ping Pong Championship, and you realize that you've left your paddle at home.
Well, as a man of international fame and glory as I am, I have been to Thailand, and I have learned many techniques from the lovely Thai ladies.
About ping pong, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And, well, you may have been on the right path the first place, Widge, but yes, they know how to fire a ping pong at incredible velocity. It's a thing of beauty. You should see it. Not up too close because you need a kind of poncho on. But it is a fantastic thing. So I think not only will I successfully replace a paddle with my body, but I think I would actually be better without it and would win in a landslide, I think. But yes.
Rox, you've buzzed.
Yes, I've heard that if you're going up against, say, the Chinese, that the velocity of a ping pong could actually remove half your teeth if you got hit. I see a problem with you using yourself as an implement for ping pong. You'll damage yourself.
The thing is, Rox, you may not have noticed this, but I actually have more teeth than the average man does. So actually losing half my teeth would just bring me down to the average person's amount of regular allocated teeth.
Right.
So, and if anything, it would be an improvement.
T, you buzzed as well.
I have no idea where teeth came into this picture. I really don't. I had a completely different image in my head. I'm just going to be honest. And I was also trying to figure out exactly how the reception would work. Serving I can see, but I was going to call a problem with the serving, given the tools at hand.
At hand.
Or at both.
Well, it depends on the video you've rented, really, doesn't it?
Balls of fury.
Well, let's just say I'm a lithe man and I'm faster than I look.
I've heard that.
JJ, did you buzz in all the chaos? I couldn't hear.
I did. Now I was also going to say that the serve wouldn't be a problem, but the heading it back might be. But I don't think that forgetting your racket is a problem because we all know that the squid in the last question made plenty of racket, and I think we have plenty of rackets to go around.
And I think we'll definitely end it there. Move on to the next one. Bonus points to JJ for Monty Python like. Pulling in stuff from other questions and making questions that I didn't think made sense to begin with make even less sense. All right. Now we'll move on to you, JJ.
Okay.
You are the supervisor at a cheese mine. There is a terrible cave-in and 15 men are trapped.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming, I'm making an assumption here, but I'm assuming if we're mining cheese that obviously we're on the moon. Because the moon is made of cheese. Mm. So the nice thing is, since we're on the moon, gravity is so much less that I think that all I really need to get out of to get the men out of the mine. Well, first, obviously, I'm going to have to watch an episode of MacGyver so I can get the rigging just right. Mm. But I think that I can get them out with just a couple of chopsticks and just getting a fulcrum right over my tennis shoe. And I should be able to clear out the whole thing in pretty much no time.
Yes, Rox.
Eat, men. Eat. It's your last meal.
Yes, JJ, you've buzzed back in.
But you're assuming then that we have figured out some way to survive on the moon without wearing a helmet. I mean, you have to wear a helmet. Otherwise, you won't be able to eat the cheese because you'll be too busy trying to breathe.
Yes, I'd just like to point out, I think it's fascinating that the idea that under cheese, somehow cheese protects you from the vacuum of space, I think is pretty cool as well. Rox, go ahead.
Yes, that moon cheese mine is actually owned by an evil conglomerate, and they've already figured that out.
I have to.
Yes, sorry. Aaron, go ahead.
I have a problem with the problem. There is no problem. All I hear is dance party.
Oh my God. Okay. Duly noted. T, what were you going to add?
It doesn't matter anymore.
Dance party trumps all.
I'm dancing now. Yeah. Inside.
Dancing on the inside. Oh, so yes. All right. Well, we'll call time on that one as well. And I think I'll give bonus points there for Aaron for coming up with a solution to a non-problem that was so compelling that he actually had one of his panelists dancing on the inside. All right. One last one then. Rox, this is for you. The monolith from the movie 2001 has appeared in your home, which isn't so bad, but it's blocking your access to your bathroom.
Is that the bathroom upstairs or downstairs?
Whichever the one is that you need the most.
That would be upstairs.
Mm.
That would be relatively simple, considering it's upstairs and there is a window next to my back porch. So, with cat-like reflexes, I can actually maneuver from my back porch and shimmy over to the window, which is always open because it's on the second floor, and get in that way. And hence, then I can keep this monolith and eventually just reconstruct the window with a door so I can use it all the time. Because why give up a monolith? Because it's like, it's another doorway.
A doorway into strange Cupertian
and to
strangers.
Anywhere I would like to go to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I would not, why would I want to, you know, it's a decorative feature. And when I sell the house, it'll be a main feature. Monolith.
T got in first.
Yeah, the main problem that I have with this one is that she shimmied across. And the dance party was in the last question. That's all I can say.
Yes. Yes, Aaron.
Better solution. I say go with it. Reenact the scene from the film, but instead of throwing up a bone, throw up your feces.
Well, okay. Well,
you are in a bathroom.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Oh,
you're not.
It's true. It's true. You're outside the bathroom.
God. No, you're
but
in there.
With a well-aimed shot.
Yes, Rox, I hear you. Yes, Rox.
You're right. You're in that room with the old man. So you ask him, where's your bathroom?
Yes, Steve.
He won't answer because then all of a sudden, God damn it, he's a little baby.
Yes, JJ.
And I would like to point out that the evolution moves you forward, not backwards, so you don't automatically turn into a poo-flinging primate.
Well, you haven't met Aaron, have you?
No, that's true.
Yes, Aaron.
At what point does the computer tell you, have you washed your hands, Dave?
And I think we'll end it on that note. All right, so at the end of that round, it's still anybody's ball game as T is in last place with 14. Rox is behind, ahead of him in 15. JJ has 16 and Aaron has 17 in first place. So it's a tight contest here. We'll move on now to round four, the final round. Now, this is our group round. Here's how it works. I will give our panelists a complicated problem to solve, as though any of the problems we've had this evening have turned out to be simple. As part of their solution, they will mention someone else they're going to contact for help. And at that point, I will say freeze, and I will assign that role to someone else who's on the panel. They must then work together to solve the problem. Now, Aaron, we're going to start with you. An 80-foot-tall koala bear is headed for Dublin to destroy it.
Okay. Well, 80-foot koala bears, in a way, they're kind of easy to take down because eucalyptus leaves are hallucinogen, a mild hallucinogen, but when it's your main diet, you're stoned off your bicky all day. So an 80-foot-tall one is just looking for, you know, something to eat, you know. It's got the munchies. So, you know, taking it down is not too hard. Just get a giant, giant bag of Doritos. But the real problem is kind of the international incident because, you know, you don't want to interfere with another nation's, you know, national mascot. So I think, you know, I would have to talk to the Australian ambassador in Dublin.
I see.
Well, because it might try and get on Australian soil.
No, that's true. Well, freeze for a second. T, you are now the Australian ambassador in Dublin. So, Aaron, make the call.
Hold on. I think I need the phone. The phone noise in this. Hold on.
Do we? It actually sounds like an international call. That's what's frightening.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Sean Connery. Hey. How are you? nice to see you got work in the Australian embassy. Listen, we have a little bit of a problem. I don't know if you're aware of this. There's an 80-foot tall koala bear heading this way.
I've heard.
Okay. Thank you, Jack Lemmon. All right, so.
Who's played by? Never
mind. Some do like it hot.
Okay, well, just to let you know, we're worried about it going onto the Australian soil. It is the Australian embassy, because then we can't essentially put down the giant bear. So we were wondering if there's any way that you could give us a hint of what we could distract it with. It seems as you know best. What way could we keep it away from your embassy? What could we distract it with? Something shiny, something good.
Shiny, good. Well, we have the Outback restaurant that's built into the embassy here. We could just use it. It's not used for anything else. I'm just saying.
Do they serve koala burgers? I mean, are they low on food?
Blooming onion, you know.
Okay. But how do you suggest we cut it down for you know, hamburger size? Because this is an 80-foot tall koala bear. It's not going to be easy to take down and cook up.
Oh, they got the blooming onion cutter thing.
Can we get a translator on this line? I'm really struggling with this guy. Okay.
I think I'll call time. just because I love the notion of Sean Connery and Jack Lemmon working together with a giant bloomin' onion cutter to take down a Dorito munchin' giant koala bear in Dublin. That was
Is that what happened? Sorry, I don't.
That's what happened. T, you're a cast of millions every time we.
Good. I just that one I was.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. So JJ, this one's for you.
Okay.
You've managed to get aboard the alien mothership. You're about to upload the virus that will save the world, but the mothership doesn't have an Ethernet connection, so you can't connect. What do you do?
Right. Oh, man, that is truly a complicated question. Now, so I'm assuming, you know, if they, you know, they don't have an Ethernet connection, which means I have a whole computer setup and, I probably made the silly mistake of going into this mothership, running a Mac system. And it's well known now, of course, now that we've been up there, that aliens all run Vista. And so everything I have is completely, completely inaccurate. So I think I'm going to have to call Bill Gates.
Oh, I see. Well, freeze there. Rox, you are now Bill Gates. And JJ, please make the call.
Okay.
So it'll be good.
Hey, Aaron, you want to make the ringy ding noise for me?
All right.
Let me solve that problem. Make the ringy ding noise.
Hello, this is Mr. William Gates's office. How may I help you?
Yeah, let me talk to Bilbo.
Oh, I'm sorry, he is not in.
No, you don't understand. See, this is JJ, and I'm up in the mothership, and
you are on the motherland? I'm sorry?
Look, I said in English, I pressed one. I pressed one, it was supposed to go to English. Okay.
Oh, but this is English. How may I help you?
can you just send me back to the menu? Because, you know, I thought this was going to be
the menu.
Okay.
How may I help you? What is your problem?
Okay, so maybe you can help me. Okay, let's just go ahead and establish. Yes, I have turned it off and on. I've done that, okay? But what I need is
What system are you running, please?
I'm running Lion, and I need Lion to communicate.
How did you like that? That just came out.
Well, it's overly complicated. It's trying to make everything simple by making everything 10 steps harder. But I digress. Sad. Okay, so but the problem is I'm trying to communicate with a Windows Vista system that does not use AirPort. So I can't get it to communicate through Bluetooth, but I need to upload a file from my computer onto theirs.
Oh, okay. That is simple. Do you have
Freeze for a second. I just want to say I barely understand what's being said in any of this. Okay, resume.
I followed it perfectly.
Of course you
All
did.
Right. What you need the, do you have one of those Ethernet adapters for the USB?
You know, I wanted to, but unfortunately I am now light years away from my nearest Ethernet connector.
Oh, where are you now?
I am in the mothership. You know that, you remember on the news, you probably saw on the news, there's the mothership that is trying to invade Earth, you know? I'm one of the guys that went up to stop it.
Oh, okay, so you are not at home. You have a cell phone that I can call you in case this phone number, if we get disconnected?
We can try, but it's AT&T. Oh.
All right, Freeze. We'll try to work to resolution here. Aaron, can you please hop in as the floor lead that works over rocks and who is coming over to try to find out just what the hell is going on? And go.
Oh, Mr. Manager, could you come over here? We have a problem.
Yes, hello. This is Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Steve, this is the man. He is on a mothership, and he is using Vista and Lion. And I told him to use the USB Ethernet adapter, and he says he does not have it.
But what I do
Hello,
have...
I am Steve. I am from Mises IP. I am genuine American.
Yes.
Hello,
yes,
this is Steve.
Yeah, hello, Steve. Okay, so I have just a real quick question. They're coming to get me, so I need to do this quickly. Okay, so I have...
Who is
I
coming to get you?
Just say they, okay? The INS, okay?
Why are you talking in a rush, sir? Why are you in a rush?
Because Earth is about to die. So you just hear me out real
sir,
quick.
Sir, don't get
quick.
Angry with me. Don't get angry with me. I will hang up call.
Oh, wait a minute. You have a cell phone, yes? Yes?
Yes,
you have
but it's
a cell phone. Okay, that is okay. You can send the file from your cell phone.
Hang up on him.
Wait a minute.
He's a prank call. No,
I need the points. They will think that I do not help this man out. Listen.
Oh, wait. I'm calling time. And T, you buzzed in.
Pimping for points on the game. I got to call foul. I got to call foul on that one. Sorry. Can I throw a flag? Is there a flag noise I can make? Can I fart? Is this...
We'll solve that problem in episode 6. JJ, you get points for trying to save the world, but unfortunately we've all died. So, and sadly, as many people did predict, Vista killed us all. So, Rox.
Yeah, I thought it's USB Ethernet thing.
Yes, you did.
And God love you.
So Rox, we'll move on to you next. Here is your problem. You've discovered moments before going in for surgery that the surgeon in question is Mola Ram from Temple of Doom.
Oh, wow. I first look at my legs to make sure that they correctly iodined what is supposed to be removed. I am. They haven't put me under, right? I don't think they have done
no,
that
No,
yet.
They have not yet. You have mere moments before an anesthesiologist will walk in.
I make sure that, oh my gosh, that the iodine is safely where it's supposed to be. Now, this is important surgery, I'm sure, or is it something simple?
Well, it couldn't be. I think the key point here is that the surgeon in question has a... shall we say, a reputation for removing things that are vital, whether necessary or not.
Oh, well, then I'm sure one of my family members are there. And so I will motion to them.
I see.
With a phone and right. Say, call Quincy.
I see. All right. So hang on. Let's get Aaron, you will be the family member, and T, you will be Quincy, who gets eventually called. So go. That's a very helpful family member. Thank you, Aaron.
Ted, is that you? I'm going in for surgery, and that crazy man that rips out hearts is working on me. I need you to call Quincy.
Why don't you call him? Why are you calling me to call him?
Because I you need to do this in a subterfuge type of way. Because oh my
Who
god, he's
this?
Seeing it. He's looking at me. It's your sister. Damn it.
Oh, which one?
Roxanne.
Okay.
Just right, call. Roxanne.
Why are you getting your hair taken out?
I'm not.
And why did you send me a present for my birthday?
It's in the mail. Please, please. Quincy's a good guy. No one, well, he'll help
Quincy,
out.
Quincy owes me $10.
No, he doesn't.
Are you okay, if I ring him, will you get those $10 for me?
Yes.
Okay, will you also give me a birthday present?
Yes, I will have my heart ripped out for no reason. Okay. And the iodine, just so you know, the iodine is on a hole on my hip. On my right hip. Okay?
Okay. But if you get your heart ripped out, can I get that as a birthday present?
You don't want it. No. Okay. That goes right. To Ted.
Will I hang up and get Quincy to call you back?
Yes.
Okay.
Quickly.
All right.
Say hi to Mom.
So, Quincy, you've made the call to Rox, who is lying with iodine on her mole. Rox, pick up the phone.
Oh, hello?
It stopped ringing.
Hello? Hello?
Press the red button. Press the red button.
I did. Pressing. Holy shit. He's coming closer. Really? Look, sir. It's only a mole. It's only a mole. Nurse? Ratchet? Hello?
So, T, you're on the phone with Rox. What can you do to help her?
Hello, Dr. Quincy? Medical examiner?
Yeah.
Hello. I need some. You're right downstairs, aren't you?
Well, that depends on where you are.
I'm at the general hospital, where everything happens at the general hospital.
Okay. Sure.
There is going to be a murder if you don't come up here. And if you want, I will already tell you what's going to happen. My heart will be ripped out during a surgery of taking off a mole. This guy from I don't know who they're hiring. Medicare is getting really bad. They're hiring any savage.
You need to just talk to him, okay? Because I'm sure he really loves you a lot. And
no,
it's not really as bad as it seems.
He's one of those Medicaid doctors.
That's just the way he is. He's not really trying to rip your heart out. He just seems that way sometimes. He's really a nice guy. If you just get to know him, he's not really trying to rip your heart out.
Okay
just talk to him.
Freeze, JJ, you're Mola Ram, and you've just walked into the room.
Just try to get to know him. All right? Just try to get to know him. Just talk to him. That's all you need to know.
I'll
tell you what to say, okay?
Okay. All right.
I'll tell you what to say. Hi, honey. Say hi, honey.
Hi, honey doc.
No, what?
Doctor.
Don't say doctor.
Hello, honey. Hi. Hello, dear. how are you?
I'm good. All I have is this mole that a really nice nurse iodined. All I need is that removed. Just this iodine.
Now,
right here.
What I'm going to do for him.
What?
In return.
In return?
Mm-hmm. This is you. This is all you now.
Okay.
Oh, shit. I got caller ID. Hang on a second. Hold on a second, okay? Hold on a second. Let me switch
you
over.
Take,
just hold on a second.
Hold on.
I'll be right back.
Quincy switched over.
Hey, Quincy. Quincy, it's Ted.
They owe you $10.
Well, yeah. Well, that's my first thing I'm calling about. But also the second thing is that apparently Roxy needs you for something.
Well, I was just talking to her when you beat Den.
Oh, okay. Hang up on her. She owes me a birthday present. Screw her, man.
I did.
Seriously.
I think I did when you called.
Let's go get a beer. Oh, hold on. Sorry, I got a call.
Is that you? I thought that was me.
Hold on. I think it's Roxy. Hold on.
Ted?
Okay. I'm calling time.
Put us on three-way here. Put us on a three-way
call.
Oh,
God. I'm calling time.
And I have another heart for my collection.
This is good.
That
was going. I don't know. That was.
These complicated problems aren't doing too well. Rox is dead.
Damn.
I don't know. I think that worked out well.
Yeah. Oh, Quincy, I got my 10 bucks back. There you go. Quincy has a case.
he is a pathologist. I mean, he doesn't really do anything until they're dead to begin with.
Oh, wow. So moving on to our final complicated problem. Let's see how you do with this one, T. This one's for you. You're vacationing off the Great Barrier Reef when your boat runs aground on an island populated entirely by a death cult that worships New Kids on the Block.
Wow.
Jeez. Okay. Well, I think what I'm going to have to do here is I'm going to have to counteract the power of the New Kids aura that's going on. And I think I'm going to have to enlist the help of Menudo. I'm going to have to get Menudo back together.
I see. All right. So, JJ, we'll make you the lead singer of Menudo and go. Son of a bitch.
These are really old phones, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Hello?
Wait, don't you guys ever grow up? Excuse me. sorry.
I'd grow up. They beat us if we try to grow up.
Listen, I've got a little problem here. I'm trapped on a deserted island off the Great Barrier Reef, and I'm surrounded by these cult of people who worship New Kids on the Block, and I need you guys to get back together and come down here and put on a concert. Can I buy you a ticket from Neverland Ranch to come over here and put on a concert?
That's the right stuff. If we're going to take them on, we really have to have the right stuff. We will. I think we can help you. I think we can help you with music and spicy foods. We can get together, but I guarantee one thing: we're not getting Ricky. He left us. He's never coming back. He has his own success. He doesn't care about Menudo anymore.
Well, that's a shame. Do you have anyone to replace him? Because I really need you guys' help. No,
believe me, there's thousands and thousands of members of Menudo. We litter the streets around here. We'll be fine. We just won't have Ricky. We just won't have anybody you recognize. You know, we'll have Zeppo and Stinky and you know, the whole gang. We just won't have Ricky. You know, the one everybody wants. It's okay though.
Yeah. Would
it help if I get a Jackson? Pretty sure I can get Jermaine.
Well, no, anybody can get Jermaine. No. yeah, no, I, you know what? I think I'm just going to take my chances here. Cause Ricky is the one I really wanted. Honestly, sorry. I know you guys get that a lot, but,
anybody,
and honestly, I'm going to be honest with you too. Just from talking to you, it felt like I was watching a Smurfs movie. So sorry.
It's been like that for every 51 of my years. Yeah. Nobody ever seriously.
I know. And you know what? After talking to you, I'm going to go and give myself over to this cult. I just have to do that. So,
okay. Just remember one thing. Menudo loves you.
I'm afraid.
That's time. And JJ gets bonus points for an eerie knowledge of Menudo. You're a Menudoologist. That's terrifying.
Wow.
All right. Well, that was sort of amazing. Out of four complicated problems, three of them ended in death of not only if not just the person having the problem, then all of humanity. So we have to be very careful there to not run into very complicated problems, at least not in this first episode. So that's the end of the round, and unfortunately the end of the show. Those of you at home, since we don't have an audience, make awing noises. Now, if I take a moment or two to total up the scores, I see that we have in tied For third place, we have Rocks and T with 18 points apiece. Aaron has dropped back to second place with 21 points, and JJ sprinted forward to 24 points, and we say, JJ, you are our winner. Congratulations.
Thank you very, very much. It's very meaningful to me.
If we could have, given the win to Ricky, but... So, but
he's never gotten back. Enough.
He has, and he's still getting it. So, all right. Well, that concludes this preliminary episode of Solve This. Thank you for listening. Now, if you have a problem that's been bothering you and you'd like to present it to a panel of experts for the amusement and mockery of the world, then please send that problem in an email to solvethis@needcoffee.com. Until next time, on behalf of Aaron Poole, JJ Hawkins, Roxas Spazhouse, and Tequil, and this is me, Widget Wall, saying goodbye. So, goodbye.